friends. My name is Justin Kane. Welcome back to Heart and Soul Gospel Ministries Children's Program. I am excited to announce our new programs for this season. Our first program, Let's Read the Bible, will help us to learn God's Word while we are reading it. And we have a new series called Unlocked. It is a devotional program for teenagers. Our next program is Children's Bible Drama. This will help us to understand more people from the Bible. And last but not least, my favorite program, Daily Devotional, will let us think about how we should live as a Christian in this world. Let's start with Let's Read the Bible.
Hello everyone, my name is Elliot Yee and I'm the host of Let's Read the Bible. Today we will be looking at a letter to the Church of Laodicea, which is the last of the seven churches that Jesus wrote to. As we looked at the seven churches, there were some churches that only received compliments and others that received criticism. Unfortunately, the Church of Laodicea is one of the only churches that solely received criticism. Since this is the case, we should never imitate the Church of Laodicea. I hope you will look to see if there's any aspect of you that is like the Laodicea church. And I hope you will not be like someone who only receives a rebuke from Jesus. With that, let's get started. Laodicea was a city that was located at a very high plateau. This is why the enemies did not attack easily. Because of this, the threat of having war was very low, and the people of Laodicea lived in peace. Because Laodicea was situated on a plateau, water was scarce. However, because Laodicea was a rich city, they were able to draw hot springing water from a nearby place called Hierapolis, and cold water from Colossae. The city's name, Laodicea, is a combination of the words laos, which means people, and dike, which means rule. Together, the name of the city is a city ruled by the people. The Church of Laodicea resembled the characteristics of the city. It has the name of a church that was established by God. However, God was not the master. The community was instead governed by the people. They thought that they were rich and lacked nothing, but Jesus called them miserable, pitiful, poor, blind, and even naked. What is more surprising is what he says in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in. I will eat with that person and they will eat with me. This means that Jesus was not in the church of Laodicea. He was not a part of the church. Jesus was outside of the church of Laodicea, knocking on their door. What about you? Are you living with God inside of you? Are you, by any chance, the master of your own life? Are you leading your own life according to your own will and strength and misunderstanding that everything is going well? Is Jesus outside and knocking on the door of your heart? It is my hope and prayer that you would take a look. If God is not in that church, it is not a church. Likewise, if the Spirit of Christ is not present in the heart of the believer, that person is not a believer. I hope we can open the door of our hearts to let Jesus in. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, please give us the grace to live by your strength instead of ours. Please lead us to live with you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And now, let's read the Bible. Today we have Sue Park from Arizona, who will be reading the book of Revelation, chapter 3, from verses 14 through 22, from the NIRV translation. And lastly, I would like to thank you for staying with Let's Read the Bible for all this time. Today is the last broadcast for the children's program. I pray that you will grow in the grace of God every day. This is Elliot Yee signing out. Goodbye.
Hello, my name is Sue Park. I'm 11 years old, and I live in Ahwatukee, Arizona. Today I'm going to read Revelation chapter 3, verse 14 to 21. Let's read the Bible. Here is what I command you to write to the church in Laodicea. Here are the words of Jesus, who is the Amen. What he speaks is faithful and true. He rules over what God has created. He says, I know what you are doing. I know you aren't cold or hot. I wish you were either one or the other, but you are lukewarm. You aren't hot or cold, so I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I'm rich, I've become wealthy, and I don't need anything. But you don't realize how pitiful and miserable you have become. You're poor, blind, and naked. So here's my advice. Buy from me gold made pure by fire. then you'll become rich. Buy from me white clothes to wear. Then you'll be able to cover the shame of your naked bodies. And buy from me healing lotion to put on your eyes. Then you'll be able to see. I warn and correct those I love. So be sincere and turn away from your sins. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in. I will eat with that person, and they will eat with me. Here's what I will do for anyone who has victory over sin. I will give that person the right to sit with me on my throne. In the same way, I had victory. Then I sat down with my Father on his throne. Whoever has ears should listen to what the Holy Spirit says to the churches. This is the word of God. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this wonderful message. I hope we would follow your words completely. Thank you so much for this wonderful Thanksgiving, for the meals and the health and family that you have provided for us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Is a new devotional program for teens called Unlocked. You can recommend this program to your older brothers and sisters. There will be 2 episodes every week. Here is the first episode.
Have you ever faced a situation where you had to choose between obeying God and obeying a person? Hey there. I'm Andrew Stevens, and you're listening to Unlocked, your daily key to unlocking God's Word in your life. Our devotion today is a really interesting one, and one that challenged my thinking about a few things. It was written by Charity Carriguera, and it's called Disobeying Authorities. Years back, my nephew told what he'd experienced. His mother, who at the time was not a Christian, she's since been saved, was trying to take him and his sister to a witchcraft worker, supposedly to get protection. The girl refused, but the boy went. When asked later why he'd agreed to go, the boy responded, but God says to obey your father and mother. While God commands us to obey our parents in Ephesians 6, 1-3, and other authorities, these authorities are supposed to honor those who do right and only punish those who do wrong. We see that in Romans 13, 1-4. So, when human authorities demand we do evil and break the commandments of Almighty God, who is the highest authority, we should not obey them. The apostles of the Lord Jesus, Peter and John, refused to obey the religious authorities who commanded them, more than once, to stop speaking in the name of Jesus. Peter and John were arrested after performing miraculous signs and sharing the good news of Jesus. The Jewish religious authorities told the two apostles not to speak or teach in the name of Jesus again. But Peter and John replied, "Do you think God wants us to obey you rather than him?" So they continued to preach the message that Jesus is the Messiah every day. In the Old Testament, two Hebrew midwives, Shiphrah and Puah, were commanded by Pharaoh to kill all the male children at birth. These midwives were faced with a choice: to obey the human authority, the Pharaoh, and kill Hebrew baby boys, or to obey God, who is the highest authority. They chose to obey God. The midwives disobeyed Pharaoh's orders and delivered the babies alive. God was pleased and dealt well with these women. Then three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, disobeyed King Nebuchadnezzar's orders to worship a golden statue, even though Nebuchadnezzar threatened to throw them alive into a burning fiery furnace. They knew God could save them from the furnace, but even if he didn't, they told the king, "We will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue you have set up." The boys chose to continue worshiping the only true and living God. God rescued them from the fire. So let's talk about this. Have you ever faced a situation where you had to choose between obeying God and obeying a person? When you find yourself in such a situation, you need help and support, counsel, and encouragement. Who are trusted Christians, such as pastors, parents, and church elders, you can go to for help? As you and I can read in Acts 5:29, the apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than any human authority." Now, I'd encourage you to read in your Bible Exodus chapter 1, verses 15 through 21, the story of Shiphrah and Puah, as well as Daniel 3, 16 through 18, the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Acts chapter 4, verses 16 through 22, and Acts 5, 27 through 42, the stories of Peter and John, to keep God's word alive in your life.
Here's the second episode of Unlocked.
How can we learn to listen to God? Hi there, I'm Natty Anderson, and you're listening to Unlocked, your daily key to unlocking God's Word in your life. Depending on where you live, you might be familiar with Canada geese, the way they just sort of take over everything in the summer and hiss at people. If you're not familiar with them, you gotta go check them out. Now, you might be wondering what hissing geese have in common with listening to God. Well, that question will be answered shortly in today's Devo, The Geese Listen, by Rick Taylor. We live by a lake in the Northwest. If we awoke from a 20-year-long nap, like in the story of Rip Van Winkle, and we didn't know what month it was, we could guess by looking at the lake. Different seasons bring us different wildlife, mostly waterfowl. Canada geese drop in to rest each spring and fall as they head north or south. They fill the skies, obeying God's call to go where he has prepared a place. Later, white-backed mergansers come in their dozens and stay the winter, chasing fish and snails that multiplied all summer. Round black coots, painted wood ducks, and buffalo heads all spend the late winter finding different food in and around the lake. In the summer, they're replaced by gangly cormorants and green-headed mallards with fluffy ducklings. Hummingbirds, swallows, and woodpeckers return too. Each is called here in their season to receive the bounty God provides. They hear, trust, and come. Listen is one of the most frequent commands in the Bible. In the NIV, the word listen appears more often than trust, praise, obey, and even worship. However, The word love exceeds them all. As you listen for God's call, especially listen for love. God invites us to trust His love for each of us, which He perfectly expressed in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. God the Father tells us to listen to Jesus, who is God the Son, as we read in Mark 9:7. And as we follow Jesus, our loving God helps us to love one another. As you spend time in God's Word and listen to the gentle whisper that He speaks just to you, remember that the lake God has for you might be different from the one He has for your friends. Every year, I watch different geese fly past us for weeks. They don't stop by our lake because they each get a unique call. Similarly, Christians are called by the same God, but our lives will not look the same. God has given us each unique paths, and as we listen to Him, we can trust that the God who cares for all the birds will also care for us. So let's talk about this. How do we learn to listen for God? If we know Jesus, the Holy Spirit is in us, reminding us of everything Jesus has said and helping us discern God's voice. We also need to talk to trusted Christians and help each other answer questions like, does this agree with the Bible? Does this glorify God the Father and God the Son? Does this bring the fruit of the Spirit and hope, or condemnation and fear? Who are trusted Christian mentors or peers that you could talk about this? As you and I can read in Psalm 104:27, all creatures look to you to give them their food at the proper time. Now, I'd encourage you to read in your Bible, 1 Kings 19:11-13, Matthew 6:26, and Mark 9:7, to keep God's word alive in your life. This devotional was packed with scripture. To dive deeper into today's Devo, you can read it over on our website or on our app, Unlocked Devo, to see even more verses. Thank you so much for being here for this episode of Unlocked. Unlocked is a service of Keys for Kids Ministries. Keys for Kids is listener and reader supported, which means we rely on the generosity of friends just like you to keep Unlocked going strong. If you'd like to partner with us, you can make a financial gift on our website at unlocked.org/donate. And that's it for now. Until next time, I'm Natty, encouraging you to live life unlocked, opening the door to God in your life.
Amazing grace, how sweet.
Coming up next is Children's Bible Drama.
Hello, everyone. It's John Backus from the Samuel version of Children's Bible Drama. Battle with the Philistines began with Saul's son Jonathan's attack. Saul tried to gather the Israelites for battle. However, when the Israelites saw 3,000 chariots, 6,000 charioteers, and soldiers as numerous as the sand on the seashore, they were shaking in fear. Unlike the Philistines, only Saul and Jonathan had swords. Therefore, the people fled or hid after seeing the Philistine army.
How can we battle when everyone is fleeing like this? We don't have weapons, and now, if we don't have enough people, how can we go into battle? Where is Samuel during this important time? He should hurry and come and give us courage and seek God for help. This is so frustrating.
Not long ago, the prophet Samuel told Saul to wait at Gilgal. 7 days later, Samuel would come to Saul, and after giving God a burnt offering, Saul would go into battle with God's help. It was now the seventh day, and the prophet Samuel hasn't come. Also, since the people began to flee in fear, Saul was getting impatient.
The seventh day has come, but the prophet Samuel hasn't arrived, and the number of people is reducing. I will give a burnt offering instead, and begin the battle. I'm a king, so I should be able to give a burnt offering.
Only a priest was able to give a burnt offering. However, since Saul was a king, he thought he could give it as well.
Hurry and make preparations for a burnt offering. I will give a burnt offering to God and pray that he will fight our battle.
In this way, Saul became a priest and gave a burnt offering. The moment King Saul gave a burnt offering, the prophet Samuel arrived.
What is happening?
Ah, priest, you came a little late. Did you have a safe travel?
King Saul, what have you done?
Oh, you mean this? When the people saw the Philistine army gathered at Michmash, they were in fear, and I tried to think of a way to build courage. The day of your coming was here, but you didn't arrive yet. What can I do? The Philistines will soon attack and start battle with us. We are God's people, so we must battle with God's blessing. Therefore, since you didn't come, I gave the burnt offering instead.
You have done a foolish thing. We must faithfully carry out our own duties, which God has entrusted us with. As a king, you must carry out the duties God has given you. As a priest and prophet, I must also carry the duties God has given me. Since you have done something besides what God told you to do, you have not kept the command the Lord your God gave you. If you had, he would have established your kingdom over Israel for all time. But now, your kingdom will not endure. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart, and appointed him ruler of his people, because you have not kept the Lord's command.
Samuel gave this warning to Saul and left. He left Gilgal, where the preparation for battle was taking place, and went to Gibeah.
What am I supposed to do after he leaves like that? I'm a king, and he still tells me what to do. I will just have to battle without him. Hurry and assemble the troops!
Saul realized that there were only 600 Israelites left.
Is this all? How can we battle with only 600 men?
While Saul was worrying about the battle, the Philistine army divided themselves into three units and made preparations to attack. They were now approaching Israel. At that moment, Saul's son Jonathan spoke to his guards.
Instead of just waiting like this, I think we should go to the Philistine camp. Don't tell anyone else, and quietly follow me.
Yes.
Jonathan, who had strong faith in God, secretly took his guards to the Philistine camp. Nobody, including his father Saul, knew he went to the Philistine camp. What will Jonathan do now?
Hallelujah, hallelujah, give thanks to the risen Lord, hallelujah.
Heart and Soul Gospel Kids program through apps or podcasts on your smartphone. If you are an iPhone user, go to the App Store and download Heart and Soul. If you possess an Android phone, you can download it in the Play Store in the same way. Podcast users can download by searching Heart and Soul Kids in the search box. It also provides you with distinct broadcasts for kids' program. For more information, please contact the office at 602-866-8999. Thank you.
Following is a program, Daily Devotional, provided by Keys for Kids Ministries. Every week, we will listen to Monday through Friday's Daily Devotional. I hope you can listen to one devotional a day during the week. Now it's time for Monday's Daily Devotional.
Carson was never interested in going to Bible Club with me before. I wonder why he changed his mind.
Well, you changed his mind. He saw Jesus through your help and kindness. It's a great day here at Keys for Kids. As always, my name is Zach, and as always, I'm super glad that you're listening. Have you ever been to the grocery store when they're handing out those little samples of stuff? It's so fun. Sometimes they have little sausages or cheese cubes or even desserts to sample. They give those treats away because they hope that you'll buy the product. When you act like Jesus by helping a friend, forgiving a family member, or sharing a kind word, it's sort of like being a sample of Jesus. The more you act like him, the more people will want to know who Jesus is and what he did for them on the cross. Our story today is called The Sample. "Can I go to the store with you, Mom?" Isaac asked. "I want to make sure you get my favorite cereal." Mom laughed and agreed. Shortly after arriving at the store, they met Carson, one of Isaac's classmates. "Hey, Isaac, thanks for shoveling my grandma's sidewalk when I didn't feel good yesterday," said Carson. "And thanks for helping me with my math homework, too. Guess what I got on our test today? An A-. "All right," said Isaac. "How did your basketball game go?" "Much better," said Carson. "Ever since you stood up for me when I missed all those free throws the other day, the guys haven't been giving me a rough time at all." He turned to go. "Oh, Mom says I can go to Bible Club with you this week." "Great," exclaimed Isaac. "I think you'll like it." "I'm sure I will if it's as good as you say," replied Carson, turning to leave. "See ya." "Wow, I'm surprised," Isaac told his mom as they went down another aisle. "Carson wasn't interested in going to Bible Club at all when I invited him. I wonder why he changed his mind." Just then they came to the place where a woman was handing out ice cream samples. "Yum," Isaac exclaimed, taking a bite of the sample she handed him. "Let's get some of this ice cream, Mom." "It looks good," Mom said. "Choose a flavor and then we'll be ready to go." "How can the store afford to give away so much ice cream?" Isaac asked as he debated which kind he wanted. "Look at all those kids coming to get samples now." "Well, as you just proved, the samples make people want to buy the product, so the store will sell lots of ice cream today," Mom explained as Isaac decided on double chocolate. "You know," Mom added as she placed the carton in her grocery cart, "this reminds me of you. You've been a sample for Jesus." "What do you mean?" Isaac asked. "Carson was obviously impressed with the way you treated him," said Mom. "You've given him a taste of what it means to know Jesus, and now Carson wants to know more." "A taste of life with Jesus," said Isaac. "That's even better than ice cream." So how about you? Are you a sample for Jesus? Do your words and actions give others a taste of what he's like? When you treat others with the love he's shown you by being caring, helpful, and kind, it can make them want to know him too. Let others sample the sweetness of knowing Jesus in how you treat them each day. Our key verse is found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8.
"The word of the Lord is ringing out from you to people everywhere. For wherever we go, we find people telling us about your faith in God."
And our key thought for today, be a sample for Jesus. Looking forward to Christmas? Are you ready for your favorite holiday traditions? Well, tick off the days with Keys for Kids Radio's Advent cards. Starting December 1st, find each day's Christmas story on the Advent card. Talk with your family through the questions and ask God to help you apply the verse to your life. Each card is designed to help you stay connected to Jesus throughout the hectic holiday season. Countdown to Christmas with Keys for Kids Radio Advent Cards at keysforkids.net and tap Countdown in the menu.
This is time for Tuesday's Daily Devotional.
My sister has had a hard couple of weeks, and that made her sad.
When you or someone you know is feeling sick, remember you're never alone. God is always watching over you. My name is Zach, and this is Keys for Kids. Since the pandemic started almost 2 years ago, I bet you know someone that's gotten COVID. Maybe even you got it. People get sick because we live in a fallen world and disease is one of the results of sin. But remember, even in sickness, God never leaves our side. Psalm 91:4 says, "He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart." Let's listen to our story. It's called Under His Wings. Lucy glanced at her teenage sister with concern. "Sophie, how are you feeling?" Sophie gave a small smile. "A little better than this morning." Lucy knew Sophie was trying to be brave, but these last 2 weeks had been difficult on her. Sophie had a virus several months prior, and while it had not been bad at the time, her taste when she ate food gradually changed. Now every food she ate tasted so bad that she gagged when she tried to eat it. Mom slowed the car to make a turn. "Girls, since we have about half hour until we get to the doctor, how about you read our devotion for the day?"
"I'll do it."
Lucy pulled it up on Mom's phone. "This is from Psalm 91. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart." Lucy looked up. "What's a rampart?" "It's a defensive wall, like the walls around a castle," Mom answered. "So God not only shields us, but he surrounds us," Lucy declared. Mom nodded. Lucy continued to read about how baby birds find refuge under their parents' protective wings. "I love that picture," Mom mused. "I think about God covering us with his protection and love, just as we saw that mother robin covering her babies with her wings last week. Even when bad things happen, we can trust Jesus to be with us because he has saved us and given us eternal life with him." Suddenly, a giant bird swooped directly toward the front of the car. Mom gasped, and Sophie's eyes widened. "Mom, it's a bald eagle!" The three watched in amazement as the eagle flew directly over the car, then made its landing in a tree right beside them. "I'm pulling the car over so we can get a better look," Mom squealed excitedly. The girls stood on the side of the empty back road, gazing up at the majestic eagle in the tree. It tipped its head and looked down at them with sharp eyes before raising massive wings and lifting off in flight once more. Sophie turned to Mom and Lucy. "I think God sent that eagle as a reminder to us. No matter what we go through, we can find refuge under his wings." So how about you? Have you or someone you love ever gone through a difficult time? Perhaps it was something physical, like an illness or an injury. Or maybe you've lost someone you love, had to move to a new place, or you are struggling emotionally. No matter what you're going through, you're not alone. God is our shelter, fortress, and shield. His presence surrounds us. So take refuge in him. Our key verse is found in Psalm 91, verse 4.
"He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shields and ramparts."
And our key thought today, seek refuge under God's wings. I'm Zach. Thanks for listening to Keys for Kids.
Here is Wednesday's daily devotional.
"I wish I could help Jairus more. His dad is sick, so he's sad and doesn't want to hang out anymore."
Whatever help you can give, even if it's just a little, can go a long way. You're tuned in to the one and only Keys for Kids, and my name is Zach. Thanks for joining me today. You might think that you're too young or too little to help out much, but when people are in need of help and support, even the littlest effort can make a big impact. In the Bible, Jesus compared the kingdom of God to something called yeast. It's an ingredient in bread that makes it bake up soft and fluffy. But the thing is, you don't need a whole lot of yeast, just a tiny bit will make a huge difference, and that's just like you. Kind of like our story today, it's entitled, Little to Give. Thanks for helping me make this bread for dinner, Tori, Mom said as she whisked together flour and salt. You're welcome, said Tori with a frown. What's wrong? Mom asked. You love baking. I was thinking about our neighbors, Tori sighed. Ever since Jairus' dad got sick, I don't see him playing outside, and he always looks sad at school. Well, why don't we bring them some of this bread once we finish? But we can't make his dad better. How can baking bread make a difference? Mom looked thoughtful as she measured a cup of water. It can be hard when we don't feel like what we do is enough. Can you get the yeast? Tori carried over a jar. What does this do in bread? It looks like dirt, and your recipe doesn't call for much. Yeast is strange, Mom agreed. But even though it doesn't look important, without yeast, the bread would be flat and dense. She mixed a small spoonful of yeast into the dough. Tori felt confused. That's all you're using? If it's so important, why don't you need more of it? Even though yeast is small, a little goes a long way. Mom smiled and began kneading the dough. It grows and makes the entire loaf rise. Mom paused her kneading. It reminds me a bit of how you're feeling. Remember that story in the Bible about the boy who gave his lunch to Jesus? Tori nodded. Yeah, I read about it in my devotions this morning. Thousands of people were hungry, but he only had a small lunch to share. That's right, Mom said. Even though he didn't have much to give, he trusted Jesus with what he had, and Jesus multiplied that food to feed thousands of people. It doesn't matter how old you are or how much you have. Jesus can use the simplest, smallest actions of love to grow his kingdom, just like how a little bit of yeast makes the whole loaf grow. Really? Tori's eyes lit up. Well, then, maybe I'll make a card to go along with the bread to remind Jairus' family that Jesus loves them and that they can trust him to be with them through this. Mom smiled. That's a great idea. So how about you? Do you ever feel like you're too young to make a difference or your actions are too small to help others? Know that Jesus uses even the smallest acts of love to change lives. Look for ways to help and encourage others and show them Jesus' love. Make God's kingdom grow. Our key verses are found in the Gospel of Luke chapter 13, verses 20 and 21.
The kingdom of God is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked all through the dough.
And our key thought today, sharing Jesus' love changes lives. Well, as always, my name is Zach. Thanks for listening to Keys for Kids.
Coming up next is Thursday's Daily Devotional.
Wow, the stranger ahead of us paid for our meal. We don't have a lot of money, so that was a real gift.
That's called paying it forward, blessing someone you don't know so they may do it for someone else. My name is Zach, and on Keys for Kids today, I've got a great story and some scripture to encourage you. Presents are great, but unexpected presents are even better. When you get a gift out of nowhere, it can change your whole day. Jesus has given you a gift that you never asked for either. He died on the cross and came back from the dead so that you could be with him in heaven one day. Romans 5:8 says, God demonstrates his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Our story today is called No Charge. I'm so hungry, said Kaysen as his dad turned the car into the drive-through lane of a fast food restaurant. They'd spent the morning cleaning up their elderly neighbor's yard, and now dad was rewarding Kaysen with his favorite lunch of burgers and fries. That'll be $18.54 at the second window, the cashier told Dad after he placed the order. Kaysen saw his dad wince. That seems like a lot, Kaysen thought. Even though he and his dad had worked hard and earned this treat, Kaysen knew money was tight. But when Dad drove to the window and handed the cashier $20, she didn't take it. No charge, she said, beaming. The man in the car ahead of you paid your bill. Dad's mouth dropped open. That's wonderful, he said, accepting the food with thanks. Then he drove to a nearby picnic table. As they ate, Kaysen asked, Dad, I don't get it. Who paid for our lunch? I don't know. He drove away too quickly. I've heard of people doing that, but it's never happened to me before. They call it paying it forward. What's paying it forward? Asked Kaysen. Sometimes people feel blessed and they want to share it. So they pay for a stranger's food or coffee, or they do some other kindness. Then later, the person who received the blessing will pay it forward to someone else. Wow, I can't believe anyone would do that for a stranger, said Kaysen. They ate quietly for a few minutes, and then Dad said, You know what? I said nobody's ever paid it forward to me, but someone did. Someone very important paid it forward, and his enormous gift changed my life and yours forever. Kaysen thought about it and then asked, Are you talking about Jesus? Exactly. We didn't know him, so to us it was like we were strangers. But for us, he became human and laid down his life so that all who trust in him can be forgiven of their sins and receive his free gift of salvation, no charge. That's really paying it forward. Kaysen grinned. And we pay it forward by loving others the way Jesus does and sharing what he did for them. That's pretty cool. It's phenomenal, Dad said. Fist bump? Fist bump. And how about you? Have you ever given away something you loved to benefit another person or done a kindness for a stranger? It feels good to help even if you do it secretly, but that doesn't make it easy. Imagine how much greater Jesus' sacrifice was when he left heaven to live as a man and suffer and die for our sins. That was truly paying it forward. So how can you share the blessing of knowing him with others? Our key verse is Romans 5:8.
But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us.
And our key thought? Jesus paid our bill. I'm Zach. Thanks for listening to Keys for Kids.
Next is Friday's daily devotional.
I know Grandma's in heaven, but I still miss her so much. Why do I still feel so sad?
It's normal to feel sad when you lose someone you love. Just remember, God understands your grief. I'm Zach, and this is Keys for Kids. If someone you love has died, then you know what it's like to grieve. You might feel hopeless and can't stop crying for days. God understands your sadness. In fact, he inspired some of the writers of the Bible to include songs of sadness. For example, in Psalm 6:6, King David writes, All night long I flood my bed with weeping and drench my couch with tears. Then he says in verse 9, The Lord has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord accepts my prayer. Our story today is called The Greatest Enemy. Addison put her laptop away as tears welled up in her eyes. Her grandma had died from COVID-19 a few days ago, and Addison couldn't stop crying. How could this happen? She thought. A few weeks ago, Grandma was fine, and now she's gone. When Addison walked downstairs, the mood was somber. Her mom and brother sat on the couch talking quietly. When they saw Addison, they stopped, seeing her tears. Oh, honey, Mom got up from the couch and wrapped Addison in a hug. Addison sniffled. I just can't believe she's gone. The hospital wouldn't even let us see her before she died. Why did this happen? Mom smoothed back Addison's hair. I don't know, sweetie. But I do know that Jesus is with us. He grieves with us, and he also offers us hope. What kind of hope? Asked Addison. Grandma is dead. How could there be any hope? The Bible tells us death is our greatest enemy, said Mom. But Jesus defeated this enemy for us when he died on the cross and then rose back from the dead. Even in grief, we have hope because we know that when Jesus comes back, he will get rid of death once and for all. He'll resurrect those who trust in him and give us bodies that will never get sick or die, and will live with him for all eternity. But I'm still sad, said Addison. Knowing Jesus beat death doesn't take away my sadness. Mom nodded. Feeling sad is normal. You loved Grandma a lot, and it's okay to be sad and miss her. You can even talk to Jesus about these feelings. The Bible calls God our comforter, and because Jesus became human to save us, he understands our grief. He is there for us when we feel sad or mad or have so many feelings we don't even know what to say. I feel a little bit like that right now, said Addison. Do you want me to pray with you? Asked Mom. I've been doing a lot of that this morning. Yeah, I'd like that, Addison answered as they took each other's hands and bowed their heads. So how about you? Have you lost someone close to you? Many people have lost a family member or friend due to COVID-19. Grieving for a lost loved one comes in all kinds of forms, and it's normal to feel sad and need time to grieve. The good news is that Jesus understands our grief and promises to end death forever one day. So if you're grieving, go to him. He's big enough to handle all your feelings, good and bad. Our key verse is found in Revelation chapter 21, verse 4.
He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.
And our key thought, Jesus understands grief. I'm Zach. Thanks for listening to Keys for Kids.
Fun listening to our program today? I hope that you read the Bible often to learn more about Jesus' teachings, pray to Jesus, and praise Jesus often throughout this whole week. Until then, see you next week. Bye!